Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In part one of Thus Spoke Zarathustra, in the section called Of the New Idol, Nietzsche is going to have his mouthpiece, Zarathustra, set out a discussion that counterpoises what we can call the state, the Staat in German, against several other things. One of these is herds and peoples, Völker, and the other is the solitary individual or association or couple of solitary individuals, the kind of people that he's writing this book for, who would be the ones trying to bring about something greater than within and for humanity. The state is, in some respects, a dead end for Nietzsche. Although, from the perspective of the present, and actually going very far back into the past, all the way, say, to ancient Rome, for example, or you could think of, you know, all sorts of other states similarly aligned like this, there's a kind of deception, a kind of pretense that's going on that the state really is an advance forward. Nietzsche sees it as not a decline, but actually sort of a cul-de-sac, a dead end, something that closes off greater possibilities. So he starts out by contrasting the state against the people or peoples. He says, there are still peoples and herds somewhere, but not with us, not here in the present. We like to talk about, you know, ethnic groups or things like that, but we're really all within some sort of state. And our understanding of ethnicity or race or whatever it may be is really kind of false consciousness. It's a manufactured thing that in many respects serves, or at least is oriented in relation to, the state and states. So he says, here we have states. We have nation states. We have administrative structures. They can often be quite complex. You could think of the Germany of Nietzsche's own time, which is a federal republic, a state of states, right? Or you could think of our own here in the America, our own complex system in which there's, you know, a federal, state, local, all sorts of other things going on. Every one of them would qualify as what Nietzsche is calling a state. So he says, well, what is a state? What is it? He says, I'm going to tell you about the death of peoples. Now, that's an interesting way to begin, isn't it? The state comes about through the death of peoples, the death of a folk. And he says that the first lie is coming from the state. And here's the lie that comes out of its mouth. I, the state, am the people. There's a tendency, and it can go both ways, for people to make two different sorts of errors. One is to actually do exactly what's being said here. Take the state as its word. I, the state, am the people. So, you know, we identify, for example, the government or the people who happen to be in charge at any given time with the people that they're supposed to be representing or embodying in some way. And that's a mistake because that's not the people. We can also go the other way when a group of the people, you know, what's left of it, who generally misunderstand who they are, manage to gain control over the levers of power of the state. They come in and they're like, well, now we're finally going to have real Americans in charge, or real Germans, or real whatever you want. And they're already deracinated from, you know, whatever the people that they came from actually was. They just have sort of pictures in their head about that, that they have an emotional attachment to. And then they get control of the state, and then they try to impose that. And that's just as false for somebody like Nietzsche. He says, this notion of the state is the people is a lie. Why? It was creators who created peoples and hung a faith and a love over them, and at that time they served life. We can't translate, you know, things like ancient Indo-Europeans into the present, or even pick whatever you like, Vikings or warrior groups of other sorts, Normans, basically Vikings transmuted. You can't take that and put that into the present as if somehow the guy sitting in the basement typing on the keyboard is really a representative of that, even if he happens to do martial arts or anything along those lines. Nietzsche would say, that's nonsense. So he goes on and he says, they served life. There was an orientation towards life. And then he said, it is destroyers who set snares for many and call it the state. They hang a sword and 100 desires over them. Then he notes that where you actually still have a people, where there's still a folk, they don't understand the state and they hate it. As a matter of fact, they view it as he says, a sin against custom and law. You can see this, for example, in the constitution of the British state or the French state. You know, it took lots and lots and lots of convincing people to abandon their old ways and eventually accept absolutist state power. And even then, sometimes they held on to those local traditions and just kept them hidden. He says, here's what's going on. The state produces a confusion about good and evil itself. Why? Because every people speaks its own language of good and evil. Its neighbor does not understand this language. It invented this language for itself in custom and law. So Nietzsche's talking about a certain type of relativity here of moralities. The basic structure of good and evil is in place in all these different peoples, right? But what exactly counts as good and evil and why it counts as such is not comprehensible, is not, you could say, exchangeable between them. And then the state comes in and the state brings all these peoples together and operates on it. And Nietzsche says the state lies in all languages of good and evil, and whatever it says, it lies, and whatever it has, it is stolen. Everything about it is false. It bites with stolen teeth. Even its belly is false. And then he says, confusion of the language of good and evil, this is the sign of the state. And he says, this is, as opposed to the will to life and being life-affirming as peoples were, this is actually death-affirming. This is the will to death. So what is the state then? It's kind of a shadowy existence that somehow inserts itself and gets everybody to buy into it. And it takes a lot of fighting at first, but eventually it becomes the way in which we understand things. And we're stuck within these states. Now, the second great feature of the state, as Nietzsche sets it out here, is that it exists, or it was devised or invented, erfinden, right? Erfunden is the past of that. It was devised for who? Not for the people, as a way to make the people work better or something like that. That may have been a selling point. It's for the superfluous, the people who don't really matter, the Überflüssigen, the extra. And you might say, well, that sounds really bad. Well, no. You have a growth, and then there's all these people in place, and they can't all be sort of dominating the stage. So the state comes in and provides them with a way of life that allows them to have and keep what they, you know, produce or appropriate, and to have a sense of meaning and purpose about their own essentially superfluous lives. So he says, many too many are born, the state was invented for the superfluous. See how it lures them, the many too many, how it devours them, it chews them, and rechews them. So they're in effect transformed by the state. They have their consciousness formed and shaped by it, and they accept it. They're like, well, you know, this is the state we live in. All right, I'll pay my taxes. I'll go and register my car at the DMV. I'll go to school like they tell me to. I'll, you know, follow the rules. Or when I break the rules, it'll be along the lines that the state has more or less allowed me to break them. And I'll, you know, love what the state loves and hate what the state hates, and, you know, reserve a little bit to myself, but that'll be what the state allows me to keep. and they live their entire lives out within that structure. Now, Nietzsche has a few things to say about the many-to-many in this case. He says, I call the state where everyone, good and bad, is a poison drinker, the state where everyone, good and bad, loses himself, the state where universal slow suicide is called life. So again, another lie, another substitution. Universal slow suicide is as good as it's going to get. So we call that life, and we close our eyes to a greater life possible for us. And then he says, let's look at the works of these superfluous people. What gives them a place and a purpose? He says, they steal for themselves the works of inventors and the treasures of the wise. They call their theft culture. Now, think about the present. We have two great ways on both the left and the right that this happens. We have cultural appropriation happening on the left, where people are saying, oh, everything in the world belongs to us, and we're going to celebrate all of it. We're not going to really understand it too well. As a matter of fact, the people who are saying, well, you know, these things coming from this group over here, they're a little bit more ambiguous than you'd like. We're going to put it on t-shirts and you know, we're going to have websites for it and hats, and we're all going to like march for it and talk about how great it is to be multicultural. Nietzsche would say, well, there's the state for you, and that's superfluous people for you. And then you have the right. And they're all about, you know, tradition and Western culture. And, you know, you look at these people and you're like, wow. I mean, you like Charlemagne. If he was around today, he'd spit in your face and call you a slave and say, I don't need your help, buddy. And vice versa for all these things. All the people who are celebrating the Romans or the Greeks or the Judeo-Christian heritage or the Vikings or this king in the Middle Ages or any of this sort of nonsense about the Battle of Lepanto, right? That's the same sort of thing. They're basically, from Nietzsche's perspective, people bragging about culture, Bildung, and they're living off of, as essentially value appropriators, what people who genuinely created value were able to do. He goes on, he says, look at these superfluous people. They're always ill. They vomit their bile and call it a newspaper. They devour one another and cannot even digest themselves. The newspaper is a great stand-in for any sort of news media, and we could also include the entertainment media, social media, all of these sorts of things. Nietzsche would say, that's what you do to keep superfluous people busy and, you know, allow them to have their little say. And then they feel okay with themselves. He goes on and he talks about wealth generation. He says, they acquire wealth and make themselves poorer with it. They desire power and especially the lever of power, plenty of money, these impotent people. Think about how many people brag about how rich they are, spend money on status symbols, even the ones who like are saving at first and bragging about how thrifty they are. Look at their lives. See whether they are truly filled with the great value that wealth can bring and the power and prestige and all the celebrity that comes with it. See if they're actually fulfilled or if they're constantly comparing themselves against others, always on the make, always having to tell more and more lies that they somehow convince themselves aren't lies through some ideology or another. All of those things are what the state allows. It creates a playground for what Nietzsche is calling the superfluous. Nietzsche would probably be okay with that, but the biggest problem with the state is that it takes the people who are higher than that, who want something more, who feel alienated and yet want to express their energy, who are life-affirming, and it makes a devil's bargain with them. It corrals them in and lures them into serving the state. So he says, it whispers its dismal lies to you too, great souls. It divines the abundant hearts that like to squander themselves. You grew weary in battle, now your weariness serves the new idol. It would like to range heroes and honorable men about it, the new idol. It likes the sun itself and the sunshine of good consciences. It will give you everything if you worship it, this new idol. Thus it buys for itself the luster of your virtues and the glance of your proud eyes. Why? Because it uses this to lure in the many to many. So the better people, the ones who are active, dynamic, who would, in some respects, break out of this ideological system, get brought back into it to be its props, its tools, its lures for the superfluous, who you can expect to not do any better than that. So who are these? These are the artists. These are the dynamic politicians, the warriors. These are the great thinkers, the people who look at things and say, this can't be all that there is. They get sucked in as well. Now, Nietzsche says that there is a possibility of getting out of this. He says that we need to find a different path. He says, do you want to suffocate in this? Better to break the window and leap into the open air. Now that means putting behind oneself all the safeguards and guarantees that the state would bring. He says, the earth still remains free for great souls. Many places are still empty for solitaries, people who go off by themselves, and for solitary couples. People who, it could be friendships, it could be a romantic relationship, it could be master and student or something like that. And he says, a free life still remains for great souls. Only there where the state ceases does the man who is not superfluous begin. Everybody is superfluous within the state. Even the great become superfluous. So he says, there does the song of the necessary man, the unique and irreplaceable melody, begin. And that is where the state ceases. And he says, do you not see it? The rainbow and bridges to the Superman. So in order for people to actually accomplish what it is that Nietzsche is laying out as a possibility in this work, they would have to find some way of evading the state. Now, Nietzsche poses it as like going off to some wasteland, but perhaps it could be done within the belly of the beast. Perhaps it could be done within the midst of the state, but one would have to reject all of this and perhaps, I suppose, live a sort of double life. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.